Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, everyone. This is the program Diversity et Unité, Diversity and Unity. I am your host, Pamela Haskell. This morning, I want to talk about something that has really been on my heart, and I really want to focus on families in crisis. And this has really been on my heart because this has been a tripling epidemic. Okay. And this is something that's not new because you've been seeing this in the news. We've had, like I said, we're about to go into the new year in about a couple of days, and we're still seeing families in crisis. I heard the story. It was so heartbreaking. There was this brother, there was a family, and there was this mother. She was making TikTok videos, and she really didn't care or really have any empathy for her children. She didn't do a very good job of raising her children. And so these children, it's so sad how their upbringing was. There was one of the sons, shot his sister, who has basically been his primary caregiver, who was she was an older sister, and she was taking care of all the younger children and the middle aged, the children that were the middle children in the middle. As well as the younger children, the mother, who is supposed to be an adult and supposed to be taking care of her children, she really didn't do a good job of being a mother and nurturing her children. One of her sons, as I saw and heard on this, it was on a YouTube video. It said that he stabbed a teacher. And he's been in trouble with law enforcement and in and out of, different juvenile facilities. It just makes you wonder, here in America, we're too lenient when it comes to, punishment, when it comes to repercussions for criminals in the defense system. We're too lenient. Other countries, they don't have to deal with death penalties. They don't really have to deal with, gun control laws and all that like we do here in America, but that's because other countries have more rigid laws. I know if, for example, in Saudi Arabia, those Middle Eastern countries, they're is the punitive things that can happen to a person. For example, if you steal, I believe they amputate your hand. And so that serves as a warning to people that if you steal in some countries, they amputate your hand. So, here in the United States, our judicial systems here, our government, our supposed to be law enforcement facilities and agencies, we don't really take capital punishments make these criminals whenever they commit crimes. We need to make them accountable instead of giving them partial sentences. We should let them serve out their full sentences, especially if they've committed heinous crimes where they've murdered someone, innocent family, innocent children, innocent civilians, or whatever the crime that they was committed. They should be able to serve their full sentences. We need to make criminals accountable. And most importantly, I want to talk about families in crisis. You know, those that have children that are parents. This is why we have defiant children. And you know what? And I'm going to say this, though, a lot of these children that are defiant and that lack respect, it's not all their fault, because some of it has to do with the different kinds of environments that they were brought up in. And so that's why if you're deciding to have a family or get married or have a family, you need to make your children accountable. You need to if you're going to be a parent, be a parent. Because there's some people that really don't need to be bringing innocent children in this world. If they're not going to, you know, have empathy for these children, if they're not going to raise their children and make their children accountable. It all starts when you give birth to these children, you conceive these children. When they turn 1 and 2, you need to start disciplining them. Don't wait until they're 15, 16, and 17 to start discipline. It's going to be too late. They need to be told at 1 and 2. When you say, if they say no to you, I'm not going to do it, you're going to say, I'm the adult, you're the child. If I say no, I mean no. That's what you need to tell that child. And the problem is, you know, too many parents are trying to be their children's friends. Your job is to be a parent, not to be your child's friend. And these children need to understand also, you children and teenagers, you need to understand that your parents don't have to give you everything. If you want something, if you're 14, 15, 16 years old and you want something, you need to get a job and start working for what you want instead of, asking your parents for everything. You need to get a job and start working for it and understand the responsibility of being accountable for work and earning things, working for what you want. That's what you need to understand. I'm seeing so many families in crisis, and it's just, it grieves me. It really does. It's egregious. Then there was on the news about a couple weeks ago, a mother and daughter, the mother and daughter get in an argument. And because the lady wouldn't be quiet and they kept having this argument, they were just, it escalated. The mother grabbed a gun and shot her daughter. And it's just so egregious. And it's so disheartening. Because this is, you know, even the Bible is said, this has been predicted in the Bible. The Bible says that families will be, there will be animosity with family members, you know, family members, against one another. The Bible talks about all these things happening before the coming of Jesus. And I just think it's important. If you're going to conceive children in this world, you need to raise your children, parents. You need to let your children understand that they are children. They need to stay in a child's place. You need to let them know you're the adult and they need to respect you. And you need to respect them as well. So it's about treating the child, you know, treating the adult with respect, but also, you know, also the adults treating the child and the teenagers with respect. So it works both ways. But if you know, if you're not raising your children, if you're not teaching them right from wrong, then you're going to have a detriment. It's going to be a detriment as they get older. Which means it's going to be impossible to tell them what to do or stop doing this. The morals and values, all that starts at home. You have to have structure in your home. If you don't have structure in your home, there's not going to be structure when they go to school. There's not going to be structure when you go to your job, or the workplace. It's not going to be structure in church. If you're not doing your job, which that you have to understand, God gave you children are a blessing from God. And God gives parents children He loaned them to you so that you can raise them. Raise them in the fear of God. Raise them to be productive civilians so that they can also be raise their children with respect, dignity, morals, and values, and stand firm to their convictions. But when you have parents that don't care, that are so condescending and conceited and focus on their self, and they're so involved in being on a computer, and I'm not knocking that. There's nothing wrong with being on social media. But you know, when you have children and you're married and you have a family, you have to put your children, you have to put God first. Let's put this to order first. God first, family second, self last. Your responsibility is to raise your children. And you need to teach your children right from wrong. It starts when they're 1 and 2 years old. Not when they're 14 and 15. When they reach 14 and 15, it's too late. If you didn't talk to them and about the foundation and about respect of adults and respect for themselves at an early age, then like I said, you've already lost them once they reach adolescence. And that's what's wrong with our society now. You have parents who are not being parents and they're not raising their children to have respect for themselves and to have respect for other people. And so if you don't raise them, if there's no structure, and a lot of times these homes, the father, the patriarch is missing from the household, the father. And sometimes it could be the matriarch, the mother missing from the family. And these mothers and it's not only just some. I know we always hear about stories about mothers raising single parent families with these children. But sometimes there are single parent, there's fathers who are single parents raising the children. And there's some fathers that do a good job of raising their children too. So let's just put that out there. But parents need to be held accountable, and parents, you need to hold your children accountable. You need to teach them, not only hold them accountable as they get older, but it all starts when they're young, when they're like 1 and 2. You need to reinforce. Yeah, it's good to give them positive reinforcements. Like when they do something wrong, reward them and say, okay, you know, you did a good job today of not pouting and not having a fits, you know, so I'm going to reward you for this. You know, I love how you are using your manners and using proper etiquette, saying please and thank you. But also you need to tell them that, like I said, when you say no, and if they say no, I want it now, you're going to say, no, I said, no, you're not going to get it today. We're not getting it today. And I mean, no. And we're not going to talk about it again. That's what you say to the child. They need to understand no, and they need to understand yes. And they need to understand rules and regulations. You have to enforce regulations when they turn 1 or 2 years old and let them understand that rules are rules. They're to be followed. And they need to be told that when you say no to them, they don't need to go asking another adult the same thing you didn't ask them. If you said no, they need to understand that. End the discussion. You know, I come from a family where, rules and regulations were enforced. When my mother and father said no, they meant it. And I didn't question them. It was like, I said no, and no means no. You know, I was taught how to respect my parents, especially my mother and father, you know, and see, a lot of you teenagers and a lot of you millennials, you don't come from that old school. You don't have that old school family discipline where, you know, I know some people You know, you don't want to, you don't, you know, you need to understand that, like I said, that no means no. And that, you know, the discipline. Parents, your job is to discipline your children. And it all starts, like I said, when they're 1 and 2 years old. Because if you wait till they're 14, 15, they're not going to listen to you. As most of these teenagers, they're going to be as tall as you. And most of them be trying to, most of these teenagers, once they get four, you know, 12, it really, I'll just say earlier than that, before 15 or 14, because by the time, really, when they're like 8, 9, and some of them even smaller than that, they think they're adults or grown. And I'm like, no, you're still a child. So, you know, you need to, if they're talking back to you, you need to tell them at an early age, no, I'm not going to tolerate your defiance. You're not going to talk back to me. You're not going to talk to me any kind of way. Whether it's a girl or boy, doesn't matter. You need to put that foot down and reinforce and let them know that you are the mother or you are the father. You're the parent. And as long as they're living in your household, they're going to follow your rules. Because, see, I look at it like this, and you teenagers need to understand, you know, the way you, when you are disrespecting your parents, God shuns that. God does not like it when you are disrespectful to your parents, and when you're mistreating your parents, and vice versa, parents. God shuns when you mistreat children, when you're mistreating children or teenager or anybody, or and it can go for, if you're mistreating the senior citizens, the elderly, if you mistreat widows, God shuns on that. It works both always. I'm not just talking just about one category. I'm talking about a family. Our families in America are in crisis. Because there was a time when families, you know, if you were in my mom and dad's generation, you know, families sat down at the table and they communicated with one another. You didn't hear about mothers or daughters or fathers and sons or uncles and nieces and nephews slaughtering one another. You didn't hear about that in newspapers in their era. But now we've gotten, you know, we've just gotten so complacent to the point where the communication has been lost. There's a lack of communication. And not only that, I'm gonna add in there. Not only is there a lack of communication, there's a lack of listening. And that's another skill you need to teach your children. And not only I'm not just only just saying this just for the children and teenagers, but you adults, we adults need to listen at times because we get so caught up. Well, it's important to communicate. Yes, communication is important, but so is listening. So I have a problem when I hear parents say, where's my child? Oh, or my child hasn't brought any homework home, or I don't know where they went. But you know what? You need to start communicating with your children, parents. The reason why you don't know where your child is because you're so out of touch, because you're so involved with yourself to where you don't even spend time to communicate and listen to your children. And the same thing, children, teenagers, you know, you need to start talking to your parents, communicating with them. When you're hurting, when something's bothering you, don't feel like you can't talk to your parents or someone you can trust, like your teacher or somebody. Notice I said somebody you can trust. There has to be communication in order for the family to be strong and to have that bond. The parents and the children have to talk to each other. If you don't communicate and listen to each other, then naturally there's going to be division. And like I said, the communication, when they get up in the morning, You know, when they come home from school, you should just ask them, talk, have a conversation. How was your day? What did you do at school? What did you learn new? Did you learn anything new today? And then the children can ask their parents, hey, mom and dad, how was your day at work? You know? And of course, husband and wives talk to each other and whatever and ask how each other's day went. But communicate with your children every day, not just one day. Communicate with them. Check on them. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them how they're doing in school. Ask them, is there anything they would like to talk about or if they have questions about anything? And as I said, teenagers and children, you do the same. If you don't communicate, then you're not going to know what's going on. And you children, when you do your, if you, those are in school, start bringing your homework home and showing your parents what you're doing in school. And stop making your teachers a target. Stop lying on your teachers saying that your teachers don't send homework home, because those teachers that prepare lesson plans and post that work on Canvas and Chromebook on your Chromebooks, those teachers that work profusely and very hard and diligently and are doing their job, stop lying on them. Stop making them out to be targets and the enemies, because there are teachers that are not your enemies. There are teachers that are trying to help you excel in your education, to help you get to where you want to go in at the next level. Start respecting your teachers. You know, if you're having problems at home, then, you know, don't come to school and take it out on your teachers. When a teacher tells you to sit down or to be quiet, stop being defiant and talking back. And stop using profanity and you know, mumbling under your breath, because that doesn't do you any good. You need to learn how to respect authority. And that's what you parents need to teach your children and these teenagers. It all starts when they're 1 and 2. You got to get them when they're 1 and 2. How to respect authority. How to say, yes, ma'am. How to say, yes, sir. Or no, ma'am. Yes, sir. How to say please and thank you when people do something nice for them or compliments them. And not only that, when they're given things. And see, that's where we're lacking in this. That's a lack of what we're lacking in America, too, in this country. We're lacking not only morals and values, we're lacking etiquette. And that's what you need to be teaching your children. It all starts when they're like little toddlers and they go to preschool. You need to be teaching them that. Because I guarantee you, if you don't start teaching them manners and proper etiquette training when they're like 1 or 2, when they start walking and talking, you done already lost them by the time they hit middle school and high school. Now, I know this is not a very popular topic, but it's one of a concern to me, because I'm a person, I've taught etiquette. I've taught etiquette classes to middle school, elementary, and high school students. And that is something that's very important to me. The family is important to me. And so if you're not raising your children, if you're not doing your job, then it's causing havoc for, you know, educators, the teachers, those of us who are trying to educate your children and help prepare them for a possible, you know, a future career endeavor that they would like to pursue. But if you're not teaching structure and self-discipline in your home, you've already created a detriment. So if that's going on in your home and household, you might want to break that generational curse now. Do it while they're 1 and 2 or 3 and 4. You need to reinforce that and get that under control. Because just because, you know, they come from single parent families or even two parent families, there's still no excuse for not disciplining your children and enforcing respect, enforcing proper protocol etiquette at home and in the public places. They need to be taught how to respect adults, because when they get jobs in the future, if you don't teach them how to respect people in authority, they're not going to respect you. They're not going to listen to you. And I know what the dilemma is. Parents are petrified of their children. But it shouldn't be that way. If you they need to understand that you're the adult, you're the parent, you need to act and conduct yourself as a parent. And the children, you are the son, daughter, granddaughter, grandson, nephew, niece, cousin, whoever is the primary caregiver, you need to respect them. You know, all this talking back and defiant, that needs to stop. Because if you do that, one day you're going to have a job. Are you going to tell a supervisor no, that you're not going to do anything? I don't think so. Because if you do, they'll terminate you, which means they'll fire you. No matter how old you are, whether you're 15, whether you're 10, whether you're 20, 30, 40, or 50 years old, there's always going to be somebody telling you what to do. There is no escaping authority or someone telling you what to do. So get over it. That's life. There's going to always be somebody in authority telling you what to do. It's not going to always be your mom or dad, but you're going to have a supervisor. If you ever work for a company or a job or an employer, there's going to always be somebody telling you what to do. So you need to stop, you teenagers and children need to stop telling teachers and other people who don't mean no harm when they say things to you, when they're telling you something right, and it's for your own good. You need to stop telling adults, you can't tell me what to do. Because if that teacher is in that teacher's care for 6 hours or 7 hours, or they're going to tell you what to do. Just like the police officer tells you what to do. Okay. So stop saying to adults, you can't tell me what to do, because there's always going to be somebody telling you what to do, no matter what age you are. And also, like, as I said, if you start doing your job, you can really help teachers. When like I said, in order for structure to be enforced, it starts all in the home. Because see, parents, your job is to raise your own children, not the teacher's job. It makes it very complicated to teach this generation coming up, the millennial. It's very complicated to teach, because these millennials, they think it's okay to just say and do whatever. And there's other generations too. But I'm just finding, like, after the 2000s, it's becoming very complicated to teach, as I hear from different teachers and school districts and administrators, because, you know, it all, like I said, goes back to the home training and the home. If you don't have structure in your home, there's not going to be structure in church or the school. So you need to train them how to talk to people. Use a voice tone instead of snapping and going off on people and raising and bellowing at someone. You just politely just respond in a very normal voice. I hope I said something that has helped somebody out there. It's just that this topic's just been on my heart. And it's just, this is an epidemic. And this is, like I said, a lot of it, you know, starts at home. So I'm going to end on this note. Like I said, parents, teach your children how to be accountable. And also, you need to be accountable as adults. Accountability is important. If you just as we hold children and teenagers accountable, you know, the children, it's kind of, the children look to the adults. They look for adults to be accountable too. Teenagers look for adults to be accountable too. So it works both ways. So if it's a, if it's reinforced, then you have structure in the home. Then you have structure in the workplace and in churches. But it all has to come when people follow regulations and protocol, proper protocol. We need to listen more as well as communicate more. Get in touch as, with your children. And like I said, stay involved, get involved and ask questions and ask questions and be involved in their lives. Because if you're absent all the time from their life, then as they get older, they get more isolated. And then sometimes that leads to them getting in promiscuous activities and situations. Sometimes even some of them running away. That's why you have to stay involved. And yes, pray. Prayer is good. But you just have, as a parent, you have to stay involved in your children's life. That don't mean like, you know, not give them privacy. You know, respect their privacy. And they should respect yours on certain conversations and levels. But at the same time, you have to stay involved in their lives, like from elementary, middle, high school, even college, and even in adults. When they're adults and when they're able to take care of themselves, you stay in touch with them. Stay in touch with your grandchildren's lives too, you know? Have conversations, listen to them. I would like to thank everybody for listening to my program, Families in Crisis. And I just pray and hope that my prayer for America is that we would just get on one accord, and that the governments and that these law enforcement agencies will do more to make the laws that they pass more rigid, especially for these criminals that are, you know, they're just like giving them lighter sentences. No, they need to be given, they need to serve out their full sentences. Make them accountable, these criminals who commit these crimes, these heinous crimes. And I think once you enforce more stricter penalties, then I think maybe, hopefully, it'll wake America up and people up. But until we meet again, thank you for listening to Diversity and Unity. I am your host, Pamela Haskell. Have a blessed, wonderful day.